belts, sit steady.
You're gonna get some sweet treatment. Yeah.
Team Awesome Inc.
Awesome Inc.
When I think of the cool show, well, I think
Team
Awesome Inc.
Awesome.
When you're in a state,
tune in to Team Awesome Inc.
Yeah! Hey, everybody, what's going on? Mike Zimmer here, joined with a very fantastic, spectacular, oh my god, it's Armando Aranda, improv comedian, musical improv comedian, with Space Mango. Let's hear it for the song, bitch. Hell yeah. Back on the show after a long time. Yes. It's good to have you back. Shut up, Airhorn, it's fine. Like, we're happy to see him. He is back, and we're grateful to have you back. Hey, guys, so live show Sunday. It's Sunday Fun Day, Team Awesome Big Style, you guys. And it's we got a theme of today's show. Today's show is going to be a Nicolas Cage theme.
Ooh.
Just because we can. Why? Because Nicolas Cage is the shit, and he deserves it. Completely underrated actor. Got some interesting things coming up, you guys. Again, special guest Mondo Aranda, Space Mango. You can check out all of his information, lalouzenyc.com. Joined by Chris Nauman, improv comedian. Check out his tweets at Robo Time Travel. How have you been, Armando? It's been a while. It's been a while. Since you've been on the show. But we work together, so it's not really been a while for us.
Oh, yeah.
We work together.
We collaborate.
We collaborate outside of the studio.
Yes, we do.
At our other job.
At our other
this
job.
Sounds very sexual, guys.
It's a, hey, wait, Chris, whoa, what? Chris, whoa.
No, I mean, that's fine, but...
Armando, what's with Chris today? He seems to be taking things all sexual-like.
I don't know. I mean, like, you know, we are very, very sensual beings.
Well, it's so true. Very sensual beings.
I mean, in a way, everything we do is sexual.
You know, in a way, Chris Nauman, everything...
That
we do is sexual.
I'm curious how is that the case?
What do you mean?
I mean, I just want to know how everything
you guys do
is sexual.
What do you want to
know?
I don't know if we're extrapolating. If we're saying that, like, as people, everything we do is
all
sexual,
over my
or
face.
Like you two individuals, everything that you both do is sexual.
I like how direct Chris is being.
Chris is being really direct.
I'm uncomfortable.
You
should just keep talking.
It's easy, Chris. You can make anything sexual. I told you so. All right. And we pulled one over on you, Chris.
You got
Take
me.
That. We got
you. You got me.
We got you. Everything's sexy. Just like Freud said, it's all sex. Right? Freud was...
Yeah, sure.
He said, everything's sex. It's all sex. Just outrageously.
All sex. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. Just go away. Bernie Sanders style. That's what Freud was like. Both old references. But yeah, that's going to do it for your intro for the show, guys. But we do want to promote something that we've been working very hard on lately, which is the trailer reaction videos that we've been doing on YouTube. We've been getting some interesting feedback from that stuff. And oh my God, thank you for watching them. Thank you for commenting. I'm sorry I said Javier Bardem's name. Bardem's. How do you say it? I'm sorry I said it wrong. Somebody commented on that.
I thought it was Bardem. But...
And then his name is Salazar. It's not Long John Silver. In the Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh.
So people have already been...
Are you getting roasted online?
We're not roasted. People are liking what we're doing.
Okay.
They're going along with our joke about, like, someone also commented, damn it, Jack Sparrow, you've ruined another fish and chip franchise.
No.
Like, so they're riffing with us. It's really cool. Thanks. Keep up that stuff, guys, because we got another guy... wants us to react to some Russian movie that's coming out.
Oh, the Viking.
A Russian Viking werewolf movie in the woods with snow.
Really good. It sounds great.
I haven't watched it yet. We're going to watch it and do a trailer reaction soon. So thank you for sending that. All the people have been commenting and liking, subscribing. Thank you guys so much. It's really cool. We're going to keep doing those trailer reactions. But also keep liking us here at Soundcast. Keep liking our Twitter, following our tweets. Liking our page, just, you know, if you like us, you want to support us,
please like us.
Keep doing it. Just, yeah, you know what, Armando? At the end of the day, that's that's all we're asking. Just like us.
We just need some external affirmation. So if you people just tell us that we're good enough,
we're a little insecure.
Yeah, and we need money. So if you want to send us donations,
also poor.
We're poor.
Yeah.
So if you want to send us donations, you can hit us up yotina.podomac.com. A percentage of your donations will benefit the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund. It's a great cause, helping out women all over the world and in America with ovarian cancer problems, such as research, treatment, and funding. So check them out, OCRF.com. They're doing God's work. They're on the side of the angels. I'm not religious, but goddamn, the OCRF people are amazing. Thank you so much for your hard work and dedication. But yeah, guys, with that in mind, it's time to get nerdy. You want to get nerdy? Come on.
Why are you saying it like that?
Want to get nerdy?
He's doing Swifty.
Swifty? You want to get Swifty?
Oh, okay.
Okay, but
it.
Do you guys want to get nerdy?
I would like to get Swifty and then get nerdy.
Let's do that.
Shit on the floor.
Oh, what? Oh, yeah. It's time for Nerd Update, bitches. Oh, yeah, I'm going to nerd it up here at soundcast.fm. Mike Zimmer here, joined with a fantastic guest, musical improv comedian Armando Aranda is with us. You're off. Fuck yeah, indeed. Armando Aranda. Yeah, but think of Creed. Nickelback. Everyone ripped off Eddie Vedder. Oh, shit, sorry. We also got Chris Nomeron.
No, I don't want any part of this. No.
Christopher Nomeron.
No.
You follow his tweets at Robotime Travel. He's a robot out of time.
God, it feels like it. Feels like it right now.
Look at this robot. It's the only one that I got. Chris Diamond, ladies and gentlemen, he's with us on the show. Let's hear it for the son of a bitch. Mr. Co-host, Timas Amik, improv comedian as well. Follows tweets at Robotime Travel. We did have Eddie Vedder slash all those people from the 90s sing it. Is his name Nickelback? The guy from Nickelback?
I hope so.
Is it like Hootie and the Blowfish? It's not Darius Rucker. It's Hootie. Fuck you. You're Nickelback.
Nickelback. What's your name? Nickelback face. Yeah.
Named Nickelback. Hard to be a badass. Anyway, guys, well, it's time for your nerd update with that in mind. Follow our tweets at Team Awesome Make. Download, subscribe every day. Like us. Watch us. Check out our YouTube channel, Simmer Mike, for our trailer reactions. We got some cool stuff up there. Got new videos coming up. We did a reaction to Army of One.
We did.
We talked about it. We finally saw the trailer. We got that reaction coming up. It's going to be the greatest American film ever made. Armando, you saw the trailer. What did you think of Army of One?
It's fan-freaking-tastic.
It looks fucking amazing. So yeah. We've got something in store there, guys. But here we go. We're going to start off. This is another trailer that we watched for our trailer reactions, and let's discuss this a bit more. The king of terribly sincere batshit on celluloid is Tommy Wiseau, and his magnum opus is The Room. The film came out of nowhere, and now quotes like, "You're tearing me apart, Lisa," and "I did not hit her, I did not," or "Oh, hi, Mark," have almost become part of everyday lexicon. I know I always quote The Room in normal, everyday conversations at least twice. So this brings us to a new film that Tommy Wiseau made in secret. He made this in secret called Best Friends, but the R has brackets.
Parentheses,
brackets around it, so it's Friends.
Oh, God, he's so clever.
Best Friends. And, man, we saw the cinematography in this trailer, and it actually looks... The trailer looks better than The First Room. And this is like... He made a movie after The Room already, but this is the only one that people give a shit about for some reason. And I think it's because he got somebody named Eddie Wong, or... It was like... And nobody knows who that is. I think that's Tommy Wiseau's director name is...
Oh, is it a fake name he uses?
I think that's
an alias.
His alias when he directs movies. So it's something. So that's why it was a random like name that we didn't expect. Freddie Wong or something like that. Yeah. So he's doing this with his collaborator. I think it's his best
like
friend
how?
Too.
It's like how?
Well, he's
do you
doing because he got this money from The Room. People, like, he made a lot of money off that fucking movie.
Yeah.
It's insane. And because it's
like
the worst
movie
of all time.
And it's like, how did he make The Room? And it's
again, he somehow got a hold of like millions of dollars, and then he put up this ad on Sunset Boulevard and he left it there. He spent $10 million to have it up for a whole year promoting The Room.
Wow.
The only billboard. And that was like most of the budget for marketing, apparently.
Jeez.
And it worked somehow. Somehow it worked. Sunset Boulevard, California. I guess that's a main strip for a lot of fucking people. And yeah, they caught up to it, and well, history was made, obviously, since then. So here's the story. It's for best friends. It's about
follow your dreams, kids.
It's about morticians. But in the trailer, Tommy Wiseau picks up some hitchhiker covered in blood. But it's about morticians who get rich stealing gold teeth from cadavers, which then leads to crime, betrayal, and possibly murder. It has the potential to be legitimately good. That's what this quote says about it. It has the potential to be legitimately good.
Does it?
That's what it says.
Did he watch the trailer?
At the end of the trailer, they had all these quotes from everyone saying, well, this is great. This is, you should watch it. Please watch this movie.
The quotes weren't even, this is great. They were like, how very interesting. Or,
this is cute. What an adorable film. what an attempt.
There's a lot of passion put into this.
Yeah, somebody really cared about it.
It's very charming.
So there's no release date yet because funding is a thing. But Wiseau and Sestero, who was also in the room, they're both seeking out distributors. I'm laughing audibly at this. I'm sorry. With hopes for a theatrical release.
Oh,
God damn yes. it, America. This oh, needs a theatrical release. We gave this like four... you're tearing me apart, leases.
But what? Right, but what?
Out of five.
What kind of world do we live in where Army of One doesn't get a theatrical release?
Oh, Nicolas Cage's film, which is another trailer reaction that we did. Yeah, Army of One needs a theatrical release. That should have gotten one with the talent attached to it.
I agree.
But America has yet to be familiar with Army of One. Once America gets hip with Army of One, then they'll understand that it is the greatest American film of all time. Starring Nicolas Cage, America's Sweetheart.
Yes.
You coined that, by the way, last week. You coined him America's Sweetheart, Nicolas Cage. So that's your fault from now on. All right, so moving along, we're down for best friends. So Tommy Wiseau and that's Sestero person. He doesn't matter. It's Tommy Wiseau. Well, we can't go a nerd update without any kind of Star Wars news. So so long as the Star Wars movies keep bringing in the big bucks, the franchise will keep going and going. And going, like the Energizer Bunny. Is that an old reference?
It is. It is kind of a dated.
Is it kind
reference?
Of a
dated? Yeah.
That is a wow. That's a dad joke. That was a dad joke. A
little bit.
My God.
The Energizer.
My God, man! I just said a dad joke. Oh no. Yeah, that's sad.
Now's the time, man. You know, like,
I'm in my 30s. It's
time to get a gut, you know.
Keeps going and going
and
going.
You know, settle down.
Duracell or Energizer, whatever. Doesn't matter. Fuck it. So,
got milk?
No one's going to know.
Where's the beef? Huh? Where's the fucking beef? I want to know. I've been wanting to know since the 80s. All right, here's the deal, assholes, who all think they're younger and hipper than me. I'm still hip and with it. Check this shit out. So apparently, as long as Star Wars is going to keep going on, we're going to keep getting countless spinoff films. And as the Star Wars galaxy continues an enormous amount of characters and stories, there's plenty of material for Disney/Lucasfilm to mine for years to come. But Ewan McGregor is hoping, yet again, that at least one of these spinoff films will feature Obi-Wan Kenobi. McGregor played the role in all three installments of the Star Wars... what is this? It says Star Wars prequel trilogy, Chris. What is that?
That's so weird. I've never
Star
heard
Wars,
of that.
Star Wars prequel trilogy. There was they did prequels to Star Wars.
Was that like a weird internet thing?
I think it was animated or something. Because there's no possible
fan.
Way
Maybe it was a fan thing.
I think it was a fan-made film. Yeah, because there's no way they would make shitty movies.
Maybe it was like that Hollywood thing where they almost develop a movie, but then it gets canceled.
Oh, and then they're like, "Well, it's too weird to make." Yeah, I think they had a character in there that was all CGI, but it was before they had enough good CGI to make it look good.
That explains why.
And
they
it was
canceled.
Like,
yeah.
It was a racist character, I think. I think that's why they canceled it.
I think that's what happened to the last two Matrix movies.
Yeah, so I guess, God, what could have been with the Star Wars prequels if George Lucas would have made them.
But I do like Ewan McGregor.
Yeah,
so.
As playing Obi-Wan would be an interesting idea. If the prequel trilogy ever really existed, which it never did, and if Ewan McGregor had played Obi-Wan Kenobi in that trilogy, which he I think... Wait a minute. Did he? Regardless, he'd be a great Obi-Wan Kenobi, and if they did spin-off films... Why not just have... I mean, look, what the fuck was Obi-Wan Kenobi doing the entire time on Tatooine? Was he literally just hanging out in a mud hut, just
meditating
in a mud
meditating
hut.
all day, every day.
Fighting sand people, but not fighting them, just yelling at them.
No, he was probably
get off my lawn, sand people.
He was probably hanging out with blue ghost
Yoda,
Qui-Gon Jinn, and Yoda.
Oh yeah, Qui-Gon Jinn and Yoda. Why wasn't Qui-Gon Jinn at the end of Return of the Jedi if they updated all the other shit? Oh wait, we don't know who Qui-Gon Jinn is. Who is he? Mm-hmm. Liam Neeson, you know, he would be a great Jedi. And if he was,
he's very tall. He seems Jedi-like.
He could have a beard, maybe. And I bet his name would be Qui-Gon Jinn if he were.
It's very specific.
Yeah, I know, but for some reason it just sounds right. So McGregor played the role at some point, I guess. But we want to know what happened to Obi-Wan during his time on Tatooine. I mean, like, Vader was still around. I mean, did Vader think he was dead?
Yeah, I think that's what...
But who knows? I mean, we'll see how it goes. But we got a quote from Ewan McGregor. It goes on to say, I've always thought there was a story to tell between my last one and Alec Guinness's first one. It would be fun to film that story now that I'm older. I'd be the right age. I'm 45. Wow, Ewan McGregor's 45.
He's a good-looking 45-year-old.
Sexy Scottish 45-year-old son of a bitch. Alec Guinness was what, like 60? Ewan McGregor goes on to say, I could do two of them. He would like to do two Obi-Wan movies. Oh my God, Ewan McGregor? Two? Yeah, okay.
Two is a weird number.
I'm fine with it.
No, it just seems weird that he'd come
look,
out and say
look,
two.
Look, we live in a world of trilogies. Let's just do two Obi-Wan movies and say fuck it. Just come on, let's go crazy. Remember that time you told me that they would never do a Dark Tower TV series in conjunction with a movie, and now they're doing it?
Yeah.
Come on, you know all the weird, crazy ideas that I have, they're probably going to do it because it's weird and crazy, not because I'm saying it, but just because it's fucked up.
I'm trying to imagine like what the plot of the movie will be.
It doesn't matter.
It's Ben Kenobi like sneaking around in the background watching a young Luke grow up.
That's creepy.
Yeah, super creepy.
Dude,
super creepy. Like pedophile Ben Kenobi.
I don't like that at all. No.
Standing just outside the playground.
With his camera.
You're going to be a great man someday. What are you doing? Nothing. God damn it, old Ben.
This guy is not a pedophile.
Old Ben Kenobi. That's not his real name. They called him Old Ben after that.
Yeah.
He changed his name and relocated. Oh, no, Ben Kenobi. What? Obi-Wan. What happened? Anyway, we're not going to assume anything. So Ewan McGregor was very enthusiastic and has a really long quote here. So he kept going on about Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Wow. He goes on to say, this goes on for 45
minutes. He says the Obi-Wan Kenobi story part one and part two, ! Wrapping your mouth around the cumbersome dialogue, I don't like the sand, found throughout the prequel trilogy, was no small feat, even for its accomplished cast. But Ewan McGregor was one of the few who was able to make it work, all while looking like he was having a good time with it. I could think of many aspects of the prequel trilogy which I'd want to expand in more Star Wars movies, but a spinoff or two featuring McGregor as Kenobi is definitely one I'd welcome out of all of those. If the prequel trilogy ever really existed, hypothetically speaking, if there was a Star Wars prequel trilogy, that was shit.
He would have been the best part.
He would have been the best part of it.
Yeah.
And I can see him doing solo Obi-Wan Kenobi films. He could even interact with Alden Ehrenreich, who's playing Han Solo. And we can sort of keep that weird gray area going where Star Wars is still kind of happening. We could recast a young Luke. We could do it all, man. We could say, fuck it. And just these characters could be like... superheroes where it doesn't matter who play them.
You just like reboot it.
It's like Hamlet. Hamlet's been like performed how many times by how many different actors? It's like Batman is how many different James Bond? How many different?
Sure.
I thought you were saying Batman played Hamlet.
I mean, oh my God, I would watch that.
Batlet.
I would. The city has a heartbeat. But what do you guys think? I mean, are you down for two? I mean, Chris, you seem like two Ewan McGregor solo Obi-Wan Kenobi movies. It might not work.
No, it seems weird
or
to
that
me.
You're not, yeah,
that,
it does
that
seem...
He was speculating with whoever he was talking to, which
specifically
is
specifically,
too. Yeah. So, like, he hasn't talked to Disney, it sounds like. He's just speculating.
He's clearly
And he's like, yeah, two movies sounds good.
Yeah, all right. I'll do it. Two movies, sure.
That's whatever. It seems really weird to me that he
would
say that.
What's up, Disney? like you pay attention. I'll do it. Obi-Wan Kenobi, peace out. Fuck. Why won't they do it? Why won't they put me in another Star Wars movie? He was great. He was one of the best parts of the prequels if they existed. I would like to see it. If they just did two, it does seem odd it would just be two. And clearly he didn't talk to Disney because they would try and talk him into three. Disney would be like, let's do a trilogy. And he'd be like, oh, I can't do that.
It's too many. I said two in my interview before I brought you into this, Disney.
Before I even said, like, well, he seems to be keen on part one and part two for Obi-Wan's story. And, I mean, how many would we need, really? I mean, would we need two? Would one be enough? Three? How many do we want for Obi-Wan? I think one's fine.
I feel like one's probably good enough.
Do a really cool story, like, where, like, maybe Vader finds out Obi-Wan might still be around, or maybe the Emperor knows, but he doesn't tell Vader, or something, just anything, really. I mean, but just one is enough. Like, we don't need a whole trilogy of Obi-Wan movies. Maybe Yoda. A trilogy of Yoda movies, I think I would watch that.
Yeah, but then you don't have a famous actor as your lead. You have a CGI.
Wait, in Star Wars movies, that never works out. Wait.
What, you have a guy?
Actually, no, wait.
A guy in,
hey, wait a minute. Actually, it does work out. You know what? Let's give it a shot. Three Yoda movies coming out soon. The Yoda trilogy. It's going to be very popular. It's Frank Oz doing the voice. Is he still alive? Do we know? Frank Oz?
I don't know.
Dead or alive? We don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Frank
Oz
is a great what is or was. We'll edit and post. Was the best at Yoda, and we can't wait for him to reprise the role. We're sorry that he can't come back for it. We'll edit it later. We'll figure it out later. All right. Yeah, I mean, as far as spinoffs go, who would you like to see get a spinoff? I mean, everyone's like, Boba Fett! Boba Fett! Boba Fett! Boba Fett!
I'm with them.
Yeah, me too. Damn it. That's why I said it like that. I mean, Chris, everyone's been waiting for a Boba Fett movie forever. Would you actually want to see it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not a dummy. Of course I want to see Boba Fett.
I'm not a fucking idiot, right? It's Boba Fett, guys.
But I think there are a lot of fun characters that could do spin-offs. I actually think a spin-off for Jabba the Hutt would be great.
Dude, a crime family? Yeah. Yeah, like Jabba the Hutt's like Michael Corleone. It's like Godfather, but it's the Hutts.
The Hutts are actually a really fleshed out, like, extended universe thing.
You struck gold, man. I didn't even think about Jabba the Hutt and the crime family.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be great. Hutts. I think it'd be fucking great.
What do you think about that, Armando? That's fucking dope, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of potential
there. As a TV series?
Even if they, like, totally ripped off The Sopranos, I'd still watch it.
Like, what if they did it on HBO?
An HBO series would be good.
I mean, God, by the way, have you guys seen Westworld?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh, my God. You've got to see Westworld, Armando. It's on HBO Go. I don't know if you have that. You could.
That's too expensive for me.
You could find it online.
Too rich for my blood.
That's all I'm going to say. You could find Westworld online, Armando. I'll send you a link, brother. But check out Westworld. Fantastic. But, oh, my God. Where did we leave off? I got blindsided by Westworld.
Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt, crime family, like story. You could have Boba Fett could make an appearance in that.
Sure, there could be crossovers.
He's a bounty hunter for Jabba the Hutt.
Well, he works for whoever pays him.
Well, I mean, granted, but he generally is always around Jabba the Hutt. Like, because Jabba the Hutt tends to pay him. Is Jabba the Hutt Boba Fett's sugar daddy?
No.
He's just a Carillion. Mercenary / bounty hunter. I want to be a mercenary soon to fight wars too. Because that's in the movies and the TV shows. Sure. Boba Fett needs to be fighting a lot.
That was a bounty hunter. Yeah. Isn't that? I mean,
he's got a rocket pack and a grappling hook.
He's Batman. Basically a mercenary. Yeah. No, he's not Batman.
No, he kills people. Yeah, you're right. Batman kills people too now.
Yeah, but Batman
kills people?
Now he does, yeah.
He does?
Now,
in
Batman v Superman, he kills people.
Oh.
It's pretty, and they did a Batman kill count online. He killed about 35 people in Batman
v
Superman.
Holy shit.
Probably more. They couldn't count the others.
Oh, well, like the...
Batman went a little crazy.
And the Superman thing, too. Like, how many would...
The whole city.
Yeah,
almost all of Metropolis was destroyed because of Superman trying to save Metropolis.
Jesus.
Yeah, so, okay. But anyway, I would love to see a crime drama, HBO, Jabba the Hutt one. That would be cool. The Obi-Wan movie, let's just do one. We'll keep it at one. If they want to do more, hopefully they're good. But Ewan McGregor, yes. Agreed?
Yeah. Time will tell, you know?
You're right. Time will tell, Armando. Speaking of time will tell, to many cinephiles, Quentin Tarantino is a god.
He has made interesting film after interesting film, and had it not been for the smashing success of Pulp Fiction, many indie directors like Paul Thomas Anderson and David O. Russell would have had a harder time getting their movies made. But even gods like Tarantino owe a lot of credit to those who came before him, and the director will make that the subject of his latest project, which will revolve around the year 1970. 1970 is the year considered to be the beginning of the American or Hollywood New Wave. It was a period where young filmmakers like George Lucas, you see, we got a relation to Steven Spielberg, Francis Ford Coppola, Martin Scorsese, and William Friedkin were taking over Hollywood with inventive counterculture films. While at the Lumiere Festival in Toronto, because they're French-Canadian, so it's Lumiere. So at that festival in Toronto, they talked about how he has been researching the period extensively, but what form his project will take is even a mystery to Quentin Tarantino himself, apparently. We got a quote from Quentin. He goes on to say, "Am I going to write a book? Maybe. Is it going to be a six-part podcast? Maybe. A feature documentary? Maybe. I'm figuring it out. I'm Quentin Tarantino." Sorry. The last part was embellishment. The rest of it was exactly how he sounded during the quote. A podcast? A six-part podcast? What the fuck is he? It's 1970s. So like a radio? What does he do? Okay. So who am I to judge? We're doing a podcast right now. But Quentin Tarantino doing one? Hey, man, that's what we do. That's our thing.
No, he's not going to do a podcast.
Yeah, you better not do a six-part podcast, Tarant. This is our thing. You fuck off.
Because everyone knows you can't make money off podcasts.
Yeah, come on, man. This is going to put us into shame. You'll show up with your own money. We don't have any. It's embarrassing, Tarantino. Here we go. Moving forward. While at the festival, 14 films from 1970 were screened, including the massively influential MASH from Robert Altman, who Tarantino revealed he was not a fan of personally. Movies like MASH, The Graduate, and Five Easy Pieces are considered the beginning of this new Hollywood. By the end of 1967, new Hollywood had won, only they didn't know it yet. Oh, sorry, this is Tarantino. By the end of 1967, new Hollywood had won, only they didn't know it yet. And old Hollywood was over by 67, even though they didn't know it yet. Tarantino cited the 2009 book Pictures of a Revolution, Five Movies and the Birth of the New Hollywood, as his inspiration for searching out the subject, calling it the best cinema book written this decade. It's the best cinema book written this decade. What do you guys think? I mean, this is Tarantino. This is going to be one of his last. I know. I'm doing this article because Chris Nauman does not like Quentin Tarantino.
No, well,
no, you like his movies.
Yeah, but as, love a per- his as a person, he's just a
and this is
fucker.
All his personality. And that's why I had to do this article to annoy Chris Nauman specifically. What do you think about this story, Chris Nauman? Tarantino doesn't know what he's doing, but he's doing something.
I just want to shake him by the shoulders.
Calm the fuck down,
stop
sir.
Stop doing cocaine.
Stop it. We know you're on blow. Fucking calm down.
But also, like, bang out a movie so we can watch it.
But you know what? Maybe that's what helps him make a good movie is all that cocaine.
No, it definitely is.
Like, seriously,
yeah.
It's got to be. I mean, that clearly he has a problem with, like, oh, hold on a sec. I got to get my...
What are you doing, Mike?
I'm just having a Red Bull really quick. You know, I just, every once in a while, I need that energy.
Can't you do the show without stimulants?
I can do this without stimulants, and I can do it with them, man. But I got this great idea for a movie. It's going to take place in 1970. I don't know. Maybe it'll be a movie or a podcast even. I don't know. It'll be all of the above. No, sorry.
What kind of asshole starts generating hype before he has anything planned out?
An asshole on cocaine.
Like,
an asshole who is famous with a lot of money and on cocaine.
Yeah, no, like, this
Tarantino, he likes to talk.
Hey, look, he's just trying to generate hype for a movie that he knows he's going to end up having to spend a lot of money marketing later on.
That
so
may not even be a fucking movie.
There may not even be a fucking... You're right. You're absolutely right. I just love how annoyed Chris Nauman gets about Tarantino. But you love his movies, though. Like,
he's a very talented filmmaker.
I hate the man.
And he's a smarmy fuckhead.
It's like Kanye West. I love him, but it's like that group of people who are like, God, they're fucking assholes, but they're really talented. It's like Kanye West, Quentin Tarantino, and there's one other one. Oh, God, a huge douchebag in real life.
I heard Chuck Palahniuk.
Really?
I heard.
That's a shame.
The author of Fight Club and Lullaby? Wow, that's a shame.
Yeah. I heard. I don't know. Bummer, man. I can't confirm it, but
That's a real bummer.
What? You met him and he's a dick? That's terrible.
Maybe he was having a bad day, you guys. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He's only human. I'm sure he's not a he's probably I don't know. I don't know who is a dick or who isn't a dick in Hollywood. Never met these people before. But this sounds interesting. This is a great concept. This is an original concept, sort of going back to this era of filmmaking where it was the changing of the guard. And it's sort of poignant now because now there's a new changing of the guard. We're sort of more independently produced and independently financed.
Locally sourced, organic,
grass-fed filmmaking and independent productions, media-wise, mixed media, new media. It's great shit, and this is sort of like a new era. So this movie coming out now, I think, is Tarantino kind of with his finger on the pulse of what's happening with the changing of the guard currently, where it's more of the independent YouTuber, Venmo type. Not Venmo. That's I'm thinking of someone I got to pay money to later for utilities. But what's the other streaming service besides
Netflix?
YouTube? Netflix TV, but
Netflix,
well,
Hulu,
that's not even TV.
Hulu, Amazon
is Hulu. Are Hulu, okay? They play TV shows that air on TV.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
but when it's originally produced for them, is it still TV? Or what do we call it now? What do we call the original Netflix shows?
I guess you could make an argument that it's not TV.
But original series is what they call them. Original. TV series?
But
is that
but
what they mean?
It's fucking TV.
It's fucking TV.
TV,
right.
TV is any sort of like filmed series of stories.
But as far as the concept and the plot, removing the Quentin Tarantino human element, personality element from this, what do you think about this idea?
What even is it? Is he saying that he's wanting to do a documentary?
What is it?
This was the subplot in BoJack Horseman.
Basically, it's sort of like this.
Is it just like he wants to retell that time period?
Yes.
Or he wants to do a fictional story?
He wants to tell a story in that era.
A fake story? A real story?
He's gonna tell a story that takes place in that era?
Yeah, see, that's...
See how it works? That's what Tarantino's up to. He's a genius. He's a bad cap genius. He's a regular hell's a poppin'.
It's probably going to be great.
It's probably going to be a great movie. We're going to love it. It's going to be a great movie. We're going to love it. But you know what? Do you think he's going to stick to his...
you don't have to be his friend.
No, no. But it's probably going to be great. No, we love his movies. We can't help it. We just think he's a...
You don't have to invite him to your party.
Well, he did turn me... I did invite him once, and he did turn me down. That's why I hate him. It's a personal thing. That's why... He's like... the fact that he even got back to me, I should have been like, wow, I can't believe you're saying no to my party and getting back to me personally. But here's the thing. Whatever Tarantino does movie-wise, I think is great. With the exception of Jackie Brown. I didn't think it was that great. But...
Huh?
But...
I like Jackie Brown.
I'm sorry,
Brown.
Mondo. I didn't really like Jackie Brown that much. It was okay, but I didn't really like it that much. Even though Michael Keaton's in it, I know.
Okay.
It's good, but I'm like, okay. It's not my cup of tea.
I think it was,
but it wasn't terrible. I thought it had.
I think
its
it
moments.
Was just slower than his other stuff.
That's probably why I was just used to that sort of Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs thing at the time, and then when Jackie Brown came out, it was like more slow. I bet if I went back and rewatched it, I'd probably really enjoy it now. So I'll give it another shot. But so it's not news from Tarantino. News, but not news from Tarantino. He's got a new movie coming. Do you think he's going to stick to his 9-and-done or 10-and-done rule that he's got where he says, I'm only going to make 10 movies and that's it?
No.
No. Oh, Chris, you do not like him, do you?
Well, but no one ever sticks to that. No famous person that says...
I'm only going to do 10.
Yeah.
I'm only going to do 10. That's it.
Because what ends up happening...
No, Chris Dahman. That's all I'm going to do. 10.
Oh, it's only 10? Okay.
Yeah, I swear. It's me, Quentin.
Okay, then I guess you're probably right.
No, Mike told
you
me,
fucker.
Mike told me, hey, whoa, that really hurts my feelings. You know, I'm a father.
Is he really a father?
He's a dad. He has kids.
Oh, that's so scary.
I know, right?
Who let that happen?
Imagine bedtime stories with Daddy Tarantino, Papa Tarantino.
Actually, that'd be a great
series.
Great childhood, man. And a good TV series. Netflix, pay attention. So we'll figure it out, guys. We'll let you know if it's any good later on when we find out. Last bit of news, and we're going to make this a quickie but a goodie. Who didn't grow up with Bill Nye the Science Guy? See, Chris, I'm going to make it okay again with Bill Nye the Science Guy.
This better be something good about Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Oh, it's very good. Oh, it's something good, I promise, Chris. I mean, you had to have at least one lazy teacher who would put on one of Bill Nye's shows instead of dealing with the horrible children or one alcoholic one.
I would have preferred my science class to be that.
Like, just put Bill Nye on and they'd walk away. They just walk away, leaving the horrible children alone. And that's happened to me before. I remember watching episodes of Bill Nye in high school, even in middle school, elementary school. Bill Nye was just always in my life, always in schools. So for me, I never hated the Bill Nye the Science Guy show, but I also found it could be immature at times and childish. But again, it was made for fucking kids, so like, right, big goddamn deal. But I've grown much more respect for the show since then. And as I realize now that it had an inevitable task of trying to be funny, kid-friendly, as well as condescending. Pretty complex ideas. Oh, sorry, excuse me, not condescending. Condensing. Pretty complex ideas.
I was like, how is it condescending?
Condescending ideas from Bill Nye the Science Guy. That's what's coming up. No,
look,
try
to get it through into your head.
Yeah. So. No, but I mean, like, the show was, it had really complex ideas, but it was able to communicate that to children in a way that kids could understand it, and it was palatable. I remember specifically him demonstrating how big the planets were in comparison to Earth by taking little tiny Earth-sized balls and putting them inside of giant Jupiter-sized balls or giant Saturn-sized balls.
And you're like, whoa, that's so big.
That's a lot of Earths in one planet, man. It's like a planet in planets. And I just remember, and then, or was that a Beekman's World? I often confuse Bill Nye and Beekman experiments sometimes. I'm sorry.
Oh, they're both great.
Beekman's World needs to come back too. But by the way, so here's the deal. Bill Nye the Science Guy is getting a new Netflix talk show. Bill Nye Saves the World.
Well,
God damn it, Netflix, you've done it again. Bill Nye is going to save the fucking world. I am so jacked for this. We get a point, too.
This is an adult thing?
This is a grown-up show. It's essentially, this is Bill Nye the Science Guy, nice, but for grown-ups.
Is there a nudity?
But kids can watch it, too.
Is there nudity?
God damn it.
I hope so.
It's not going to be. So. Wait a minute. I'm thinking of potentialities here.
He's just so live.
Sex ed with Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Yes.
Is that weird or hot? Is it kind of hot or kind of weird?
Can it be both?
It's a little weird hot.
Can
hot weird.
Hot weird, yeah.
Sex ed with Bill Nye the Science Guy. You know what? I'd watch that show. Fuck it. Why not? Bill Nye answers your sex questions. He's actually an engineer. he's a structural engineer. he's not a doctor. He's got a doctorate in structural engineering, but he's not an astrophysicist. He's not a chemist, but when you do engineering and you get your degree and doctorate in that, like, you have to go through a process where you do science and you do chemistry. You have to know a little bit of everything for engineering, structural engineering, as far as the components of things. So, like, you know, he is a very qualified source, and it's Bill Nye. I mean, fucking him and Neil deGrasse Tyson hang out all the time. Like, they're on each other's speed dials. Like, if one gets a question that only the other one could ask during an interview, they will call them up and put them on speakerphone, and the other will answer the question to the interviewer. So they're adorable. They're very adorable. Yeah. It's like it's a fucking Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart type relationship between two geniuses. That should be a movie in the future.
Yes.
Bill and Neil. Neil and Bill. Bill and Neil.
Bill and Neil's excellent invention.
Bros forever. Bros forever with the number four. But yeah, what do you guys think? Bill Nye Saves the World. I'm ready for this. I want this show.
I'm down.
Is there a like a pitch? What is the show beyond talk show with
Bill Here's Nye? The pitch. Bill Nye is gonna save the world.
All right. That's a pretty good pitch.
Yeah, right? Dude, that's, come on, the title alone. sells it for me. But what I think it's going to end up being, to answer your question more, is I think they're going to focus more on, like, obviously it's going to be like Bill Nye the Science Guy's style. Like, remember his show? He'd get kind of weird and funky. Like, they'd always do arts and craftsy things to explain science. I think he's going to keep expanding upon that. But I think he's also going to recognize that he has an adult audience as well. Mm. I don't know if it's going to be necessarily geared towards adults or children, but I hope they do a Mythbusters type situation with this Bill Nye Saves the World. Well, the how Bill, like, Mythbusters kind of walked that fine line between like PG-13 and G-rated comedy. Like, sometimes they do stuff with farts, you know, be like, well, we're going to bust the myth on if you eat a lot of turkey, you get turkey farts or whatever. Like, it's like, okay, we're going to connect the fart machine to Carrie and we're going to send her out into the street, see if she farts. Like, they've done stuff like that on Mythbusters.
We all know that turkey farts are real.
They're very real and they're disgusting. They're horrible farts. They're some of the worst. But regardless, so I think that's how Bill Nye Saves the World is going to go.
Okay.
In that same, like, kind of vein where we'll see tests and results and he'll sort of explain. And it's going to be very environmentally and eco-friendly. It's saving the world. So he really believes in climate change, and I believe in it too. I believe it's a real thing that's happening because scientists agree. Most of them. There's only, out of all the scientists that were interviewed, there was like, what was it? It was a ridiculous number. It was like 5,000 scientists all over the world. And only, like, what was it, 100 of them who were paid off by certain people said, no, it's not.
Yeah, I think the
it was some, no, it was 67 out of, like, it was some crazy number like that.
Yeah, so this, you know, those are like tobacco.
So
like
this is an important show. We need this. Like, this is, a lot of people need to see this.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, does a show espousing the danger of climate change affect government policy about climate change?
Well, I mean,
good question.
Are, you know, people's opinion affect public policy and the people who they vote for?
Yeah, but most people, most voting aged individuals in the U.S. already subscribe to the truth that is climate change, and yet it's not a priority for our government.
No, you're right. that is a good point, but it is a priority to an extent for our government. Our government does give a shit about that. To an extent.
I don't know.
I mean, they do. They do. It's just they don't give enough of a shit to help save it. Like, they care. They'll say they care, but they won't fucking do anything to fix it.
Right. They give a shit enough of a shit to get the vote from the people that care.
See? No. Politics.
But not to actually do anything.
And that is American politics. Yeah, and we just educated you people on the show today. Hooray. Yeah.
Hooray.
Hip hop hooray. It's an awesome tune. Sunday. What day is this?
Sunday.
Yeah.
Bitch.
So Bill Nye Saves the World is going to premiere on Netflix coming up. What was the date for that? We didn't have a date for that.
Soon.
It's coming on Netflix soon, you guys. They're going to be talking about they're going to combat anti-vaxxers.
Oh, hey. That's
so they're going to go against the anti-vaxxers. They're going to talk about global warming deniers.
Of course.
Just fixing the world. Bill Nye's genuinely going to try and fix and save the world through his show.
Roll up his sleeves.
He's, it's Bill Nye, man.
Get his hands dirty.
And if you guys haven't heard of the show Star Talk Radio, Bill Nye will often do it. It's a podcast. Neil deGrasse Tyson usually hosts it. Bill Nye will do it too, and he'll host it every once in a while. It's called Star Talk Radio. It's a great science podcast. They'll have comedians come on with scientists, and they'll just riff, and it's amazing shit. So you definitely check that out. Listen here, too, because we've got some very educated people as well. Experts, really. We're all experts in our own right for something. But that's going to do it for your Nerd Update, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Follow Chris Domus' tweets at RoboTimeTravel. Follow Soundcast tweets at SoundcastFM. And follow Armando Aranda he doesn't have a Twitter or a Facebook. He's got Facebook. Yeah. Look, just
Armando don't tweet.
No, but if you go to facebook.com/spacemango, he is a musical improv comedian and is our special guest on the show.
This has been Team Awesome. What a fun experience. Awesome. Well, you know we do it to the show, right?
Awesome.
You're at Team Awesome Inc.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.